Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 46. Healthy women, happy women.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Yes, I did think about the title of this podcast. And I thought, should I call it Healthy Feminine, Happy Feminine? But I felt I was just going over the top to try and include everybody. And especially since I, first of all, am a woman. And secondly, I've spent a lot of my life taking care of women. I've seen probably 80 to 90% of women in my practice. And it's not that I don't love working with men, but I certainly see that when there is health in a woman, especially within a family, that family is healthy. Many a time, a woman will bring her problems to see me when really it is for the family. And that's commonly the case, that she is the one that will bring the health back to the heart of the family, to the hearth, to bring warmth back where perhaps something has become disturbed. But I'm not seeing the health that I would like to see in women. Despite the equality, women taking their place in many areas of society, women receiving the paychecks they deserve, we're actually seeing more illness in certain areas for women. And that, to me, is the barometer of success as to the empowerment and the embodiment of the feminine in our women. And this is across the board. Yes, I live here in the United States, but I'm seeing it in all countries. Some countries certainly are having issues in different areas than we do see here in the States or in Britain. But overall, we're not seeing a decrease in illness. In fact, we're seeing an increase. And I want to explore in this podcast why this may be happening. I'm going to be talking about specific illnesses. You may not have heard of the illness or ever met someone or even had it yourself. But at some level, I'm talking about what makes us women, if you are a woman listening, what because of my uterus or my ovaries, or perhaps because of my hormones, that it's not just waiting until you get sick to do something. But perhaps as I'm speaking, you may say, wow, you're talking to me even though I haven't yet manifested that illness. And that's really what I hope to achieve. And if you are somebody who knows someone with one of these illnesses, please pass on the information to them, because it's too late, really, to only start acting once the illness has appeared. As you have heard me often say, my first question to someone is, what was going on when you got sick? So we often know something's not right before we start. And so if we can really practice preventive medicine, not fear-based preventive medicine, but truly enhancing holistic medicine, bringing forward what needs to be rebalanced in our system, that will help us. And I think there are illnesses that truly are affecting us as women in a whole, or I should say women as a whole. But I want to say is, that may be a global issue, but I also see it in families. So what am I talking about? Well, we have 60 to 65% of women around the world experiencing symptoms of PMS, premenstrual syndrome. And that's a very high figure. It's a sign that something's not in balance. And I think because the menstrual cycle of women is so much about cycles and rhythms, these symptoms are showing me that we are out of rhythm with ourselves. Something is out of balance. And maybe I just want to start there. You may or may not know there are three phases to a woman's cycle. There's what we call the estrogen or estrogen phase, where we are creative and active. This occurs just after a woman has a period. And then at ovulation, she releases the egg that she's been developing. She releases this energy of creation. And awaits fertilization if that's what she wants, or she awaits fertilization of her ideas. You do not in any way have to be asking to have a baby every month. Indeed, as you may well have heard me say, we have over 450 cycles in a lifetime as a woman. And therefore, this is not accurate to say that women only have periods in order to have a baby. The average number of babies per woman in the world is 1 to 2. So each month, a woman is being given the opportunity to ripen not just one of her eggs, but one of her dreams, one of her creative ideas. And that can occur even after menopause. So that even after menopause, a woman then is aligned much more to the moon. And after the dark moon, up to the full moon, is a woman's most fertile time, or I should say most creative time, leading fertility of her ideas. Just to be clear there, fertility or fertilization is not just the development of your ideas, it's the fertilization, the sperm meeting the egg, is bringing that dream alive. If I fertilize my ideas, it's the time where I will share what I'm doing so that other people are excited by my ideas. It's not just all on my shoulders. It might be a time when I send out an email blast and tell people what I'm doing. So fertilization is a time where we need to network, we need to engage with other people. But just going back to what I was saying, after the period or after the dark moon, if you're postmenopausal, that time between after the dark moon, after your period, until either ovulation or the full moon is the most creative time. We relate that to the hormone estrogen, estrogen. And most women are not estrogen deficient. But after ovulation, after the full moon, becomes our problems. Because this is when estrogen starts to fade off and progesterone becomes the major player. And more women are progesterone deficient than they are estrogen or estrogen deficient. What does that mean? As I said, just after ovulation, after the full moon, that's your fertile time. That's when you want to engage with people. You get all, you're actually sexier during that time. You're more sociable. But then maybe 10 days before your period or 10 days before the dark moon, you actually start to withdraw. You want to nurture your dream, your fertilized dream. You want to engage with it. You want to give it literally what any seed needs in order to grow. So it's one thing to plant your seed. It's another thing to give it water and food and minerals and sunshine to make it grow. And that's the time we're not good. That's the time often we lose interest or we go on to the next project. Years ago, I remember planting some beans in my garden. I love my having a garden. I love planting my own vegetables. But one day I came back and all the beans had died on the stalks. Literally, they'd grown and then died because I paid far too much attention to the next project. I hadn't paid enough attention to what I'd already planted. And so why am I talking about this in PMS or even any of us who might get depressed at certain times in the month? It may well be that we're paying far too much attention to the doing part, the creative side, the what am I going to do next, and far too little to the progesterone side, the nurturing side. And that can just be in your own life. Where are you doing and not nurturing? Where are you being asked to move on from a project rather than being able to sit back and enjoy that project and nurture it? Where are you being told, oh, okay, the next thing? I remember so often that when I write a book, someone will say, so what's your next book going to be? Almost a few days after it's been published. It's like, stop. This is taking me a year, 2 years to write. I'm now going to nurture myself with the fruits of my endeavors. I'm going to relax. Just as a mother animal would relax at some point, to enjoy the fact she's just given birth. It's an exhausting process. And that is why, I may say, we are seeing so much more postnatal depression. That women don't have that period of time where they can relax with their newborn, take time out. when I was born, my mother would always book herself into a nursing home and have at least 2 weeks with each new baby. My father, somehow, coping with the children that were already there. Many, many countries give paternity leave, but that doesn't mean that a woman doesn't need to also have that bonding time. I mean, 2 weeks is nothing. That first 6 weeks, so essential for the bonding to that newborn baby. I'm not saying a man can't do the bonding, or a grandmother, or anybody else who takes care of that newborn, but there is a special bond that occurs within a mother-baby relationship within that first 6 weeks, when the hormone oxytocin is released by both mother and baby as that mother holds that child to the breast. So I've jumped a little bit. I went on to postnatal depression, but I'm just coming back to PMS. When we do not take that time 1 week before our period or 1 week before the dark moon to actually pull back, to become introspective, to quieten down, not to be so sociable, not to start a new project, but we say, actually, I'll do that after my period or after the dark moon. So when we don't take that week to calm down, to look at life, to assess what we're doing, there is far more tendency for the symptoms of PMS, such as bloating, overeating, overindulging, feeling snappish, feeling angry because people are asking you to do things, feeling depressed. We need to get back in touch with rhythms if we are women. We need to understand that as a woman, we are not lined in a 24/7 linear fashion where our moods never change. We do have moods. Many of us understand that. And when we do not honor those moods, we get tired, we get irritable. I would like women definitely to understand that cycle, young women especially. And it's not to say don't work. It's just recognize that week before your period is a time to, as I say, become quieter, more introspective, not so sociable, and perhaps put off doing or starting something until after your period. Now, menopause also has its own symptoms. I think many women only see menopause as that time, their last period, that's it. No, we have a perimenopause. That goes on almost 10 years. 10 years! And it starts somewhere around 46, 47, goes on to 56. And it's the period of time where we are breaking down our energy from the mothering energy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be a mother anymore, but you're less inclined after 56 to be wanting to nurture and contain and maintain, look after. And you're more wanting to have time again on your own, but time to be the wise elder, the crone, to give wisdom. Maybe to have time with your grandchildren, but to give them back at the end of the day. To make time for friendships and community that isn't about taking care of people. So that 10-year cycle between 46, 56 is a really important time for women to realize that around 46, you are at your highest success. You basically should have achieved a sense of self-confidence. It doesn't mean you're never going to be successful again, but much more about, wow, look what I've done. I'm feeling really good about myself. So that as you move away from doing things to gain ego success, you bring all your wisdom and all your experience to your wise women crone years. But again, we're not taught to do this. So many times in that menopausal phase or that perimenopausal phase, we're still struggling to achieve. We have a lot of shoulds on us or musts on us. I've got to keep going. I've got to do this. Or not feeling good about yourself. And many of the symptoms, and there's almost 80% of women have perimenopausal symptoms. Many of the symptoms are trying to calm us down. So when we have hot flushes or hot flashes, it's actually the parasympathetic nervous system, the relaxation nervous system that's going, calm down. We're going to be okay. Let's just relax. And actually the flushing or the heat is actually our body trying to get rid of excess heat that we've carried due to adrenal overcharge, adrenal stress. So if you're someone who's rushing around and hyperactive and always on the go and multitasking in many areas, and you've reached 46 and 47, you may hit a wall because you realize that I can't do it anymore, I'm exhausted. And truly your body is saying, yes, and this is my message to you, calm down, cool down. It's not uncommon for women to have restless nights, sleepless nights, waking around 3 a.m. But it's also not uncommon for women in their menopause to wake up with an anxiety, even a depression, a feeling of dread, because all that anxiety has got to go somewhere. And so it's almost like a train has come to a stop, but all the carriages are bumping into the train. It's as if everything now needs to be calmed down. And I would only advise anybody who's in their mid-40s, even early 40s, to start to find ways to relax. Start to find ways to calm down. Because after menopause or after your period stop, your estrogen no longer comes from the ovaries as much, but comes from the adrenal glands. And if your adrenal glands are already exhausted, then you're going to have more menopausal problems. Of course, there's one other place you can always achieve some estrogen, and that is from your fat, which is why we often put on weight or fat around the time of menopause, because this is now a new source of estrogen. So I hope you're starting to see that rhythm is an important part of women. And when we take the pill or we have an injection to stop our periods or to flatline basically all our hormones, we're running into real problems. And to me, this is one of the reasons why we're seeing also so many women needing antidepressants or anti-anxiety tablets, because if you flatline the system like that, you're no longer getting the highs and the lows. You're literally finding that your body is fighting these hormones. Now, am I saying you shouldn't take the pill? No, I understand this to be a really good cause or way of actually preventing pregnancy if we choose to do that. But don't think that it doesn't have side effects. And we often look to the side effects from a cancer area, you know, is someone going to get cancer? But that really is not the only problem. The only problem is, how does it affect our moods? How does it affect what's going on inside us? So taking or giving a young woman a pill or injections to stop her cycle is really very detrimental to her on so many levels, and we're really not recognizing that. So let's look at some of the other things that are happening. Fibroids, you may have heard of those. Fibroids are benign tumors of the uterus. They're very common. Many women have them, never have problems with them. Other women, the fibroids get larger and larger and then start to give symptoms, which may even be a bloating, may affect the bladder, but may affect having periods, etc., etc. And fibroids can get very large, almost the size of a baby. And when I meet a woman who has fibroids, I ask her this question: who takes care of you? And often she will start to cry, because what she says is, I'm there for everybody else, but nobody's there for me. But when I dig deeper, I ask, who do you trust? Who do you nest into? And she'll say, oh, I don't trust anyone. I've been betrayed, maybe. I've been let down. So often these women with a fibroid are really good at taking care of everybody else, but do not allow others to take care of them. Does this ring bells with any of you? Are you better at giving than you are receiving? I think it's very common, especially if any of you, like me, are in the health professions or the healing professions. Nobody's going to come and ask us, how are you getting on in life? We can hide behind taking care of others. So it's always wise to look at, what fears do I have of becoming incapacitated, disabled, needy of others? What fear do I have? And I remember a lady with a very large fibroid coming to see me, and this fibroid was now having detrimental effects on her bladder, on her rectum, her ability to have a stool. And she also was feeling really uncomfortable because the bleeding was happening. And I said, well, why don't you just have this fibroid taken out? And she said, because in the past she'd had an operation and nobody had been there for her. And so what we did is we set up a calendar before she had the operation and said, okay, I'm going to visit this friend for this week and this friend for this week and this friend for this. And she did it. And she found that people not only were willing to take her in, they were happy to, they wanted to help her. And in fact, had been waiting for that opportunity. So how easy is it for you to let people in? And a fibroid relates very much to the liver meridian. The tumor itself is a little ball of anger. Where are you holding anger in? Where are you feeling that nobody's there for you? Where do you resent other people? Remember, this is in your uterus. Your uterus is your place of power as a woman, but it's also our place of relationship. Where have you been disempowered as a woman? Where have you felt that nobody's seeing you or hearing you or trusting who you are? Where have you been betrayed? Where have you been abused? So many of the issues we see in the uterus are around these problems. And just to be connecting to that sacral chakra, which is where our uterus is, we have lower back pain. Now, that isn't only seen in women, but in women and men, the question is, who supports you? Because when we haven't felt supported, our back goes, our back gives way. We feel that nobody's there. But as I always say, people with lower back problems are usually the worst people to try and help. They're a pain in the back to help because they have high expectations of other people and nobody does it well enough. So are you one of those people who says, I'm fine, I'll do it myself, and has that inner message that says, if a job's worth doing, do it yourself? And why do you do that? Is it because you've trusted someone else to do something and they let you down, or they didn't do it the way you wanted? Or maybe you think there's a debt involved. If I allow this person to help me, maybe they're going to come back and ask me something back. Why don't you feel trusting of others? And that trusting, you can't just start trusting others. You can't just say, oh, today I'm going to trust. Trust to me has a lot to do with truth. Have you been let down because someone lied to you? And have you therefore even lied to yourself? Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to know what's true. And when something happens that absolutely knocks us sidewards, we say, oh, it's that problem. That's the person that gave me that problem. I don't trust people. Sometimes what we don't trust is our own heart, our own womb. We should have known. I knew something wasn't right. So sometimes that ability to trust others is also our ability to trust ourselves, to listen to our intuition, listen to our heart, listen to our womb, listen to our gut feelings, we often call them. Where am I swallowing what doesn't feel right? Where am I not acknowledging? Where am I putting it down into my guts and just saying, everything's fine, smile, big smile, when I know it's not inside? And that reminds me of the illness, irritable bowel syndrome. Irritable bowel is where we swallow things that don't feel good. We keep everything inside. Everything that feels, if I may use the word shitty, we hide inside. We hide our hurt, our pain. And then our bowel goes into spasm and sometimes we get diarrhea because we can't hold it in anymore. And other times we're constipated, we're bloating with it. What are you hiding and yet smiling? What are you not able to digest? I could go into indigestion there, but many a time, issues around the sacral chakra, lower back problems, fibroids, and irritable bowel, colon issues, are where we're trying to suppress something, especially in terms of relationships. What relationship does not feel safe? Where do you need to make amends? Where do you need to open yourself up to a relationship? Not from a place of vulnerability, but from a place of strength. And you can only do that by saying, I trust myself. I trust myself to be heard. If I'm not heard, this is not the right relationship. I trust myself to listen to my heart, to know what's going on. I trust myself to feel safe if I'm honest in a relationship. If I don't feel I can share my truth, probably not the right relationship. And at the same area, I'm just going to go down to the neck of the, what we call the neck of the womb, the cervix. So cervical cancer, cervical cancer, cervical dysplasia often, early signs that there may be cancer. If you've done any of the work with me in women's work, I believe there are two sacred guardians to your sacred temple being the place of your womb, your place of power, of transformation, of wisdom. Everything that we've ever known we carry in that womb. But sometimes when we have that beautiful strength in our womb, others have maybe abused it, tried to steal it, and go back to not trusting. And one of the places that we need to have a good doorkeeper or guardian is that neck of the womb. It's what I call the inner doorkeeper. At some time, you may wish to see, do you, in a meditation, have a doorkeeper, both in your outer doorkeeper, which is your vagina, inner doorkeeper, cervix. Inner doorkeeper, cervix, is about, do I feel safe? Do I feel that not only can I share outer experiences with someone, but where have I, do I keep other parts of myself still or quiet? In other words, where am I a pleaser? Where do I give away my power by letting people walk all over me? Where do I just let people walk in and out of my sacred temple whenever they fancy? We have seen so clearly in women who have had cervical cancer that they are more having a tendency to not speak out than the women who have mild dysplasia, but then that gets better. Learning to speak out, learning to trust again your intuition and say something. Learning to see that being a pleaser does not serve you. And asking yourself, what's in it for me? What do I want to get out of this relationship? Rather than how do I serve others? And there's one other condition I want to talk about is endometriosis. Endometriosis is where small pieces of the lining of the womb are found all over the body, commonly in the muscle of the womb, but they can be found in the pelvis, it can be found even in around the face. And every time a woman has her period, she bleeds from those areas, which causes the blood to drip into wherever it is and cause scar tissue. It's a very painful condition. And once again, some of the research that's been done has shown that women who have endometriosis often have inherited an ancestral myth about being a woman, about getting pregnant. And it's almost as if that endometrium is moving in the opposite direction to where it needs to go. When we have our period, we shed that lining of the endometrium. Here, it's almost as if it's suppressed. So what was the messages, or what were the messages you were given about being a woman, as a young woman? What secrets do your ancestors hold about maybe pregnancy or anything else that may have happened to them as a woman? To me, endometriosis is a very serious illness and a debilitating one, but it's also one that we don't always dive deep enough in to be able to look at. What are the messages? How can we help a woman to have a healthy respect for her uterus, healthy respect for her femininity? I could look at other illnesses. Certainly ovarian cancer is there. Ovarian cancer, so much about your expression, your ovaries, your eggs, are the expression of your creativity. I've worked with a number of women with ovarian cancer where that suppression has occurred, where someone has said, who do you think you are? You'll never manage this. And they've shut down. They've kept their creativity inside. And one final illness I need to talk about, which is polycystic ovary. This is now almost 1 in 8 girls have polycystic ovary, something I hardly saw when I was doing gynecology several decades ago. And here, if you imagine, the eggs are all on the surface of the ovary. And at each month, one or more eggs are released, jump into the fallopian tubes. But here, it's like a silvery sheen or covering goes over the top of those eggs, not allowing the eggs to develop. and then release. It's a very high indicator of infertility, or it leads to infertility. And it has signs where there are higher levels of testosterone, higher levels of diabetes linked to this illness. And I would like to say is that not only may this young woman's eggs have been suppressed, or she may have been told, who do you think you are? You'll never make anything of life. But she may also have been wounded by a man, maybe a father figure, maybe been abused. But something about her masculine surrounding her eggs so that she doesn't become influenced or vulnerable to anything that could hurt her feminine. It's literally a way of her masculine preventing her feminine getting hurt. So if you know anybody with polycystic ovary, what went on in their life? Give them some ideas. How can we develop their feminine to be strong and capable and not needing the masculine to step in? And this is really an important thing for me to say at this point, is that even though I'm seeing women become stronger and stronger on different platforms, leaders of a business, achieving so much, much of that has been done at the cost of their feminine. It makes me laugh. If I want to laugh, I could cry. Is to see that the suppression that we saw for 3,500 years by the patriarchy on the feminine is now continuing. But now it's not men who are putting women down. It's our own masculine that is suppressing our feminine. It is women's masculine suppressing other women's feminine. And so our feminine is just as weak, just as suppressed, yet it's now by our own masculine. And polycystic ovary is one of those illnesses where I'm seeing that happening. So where is your masculine becoming too strong? Maybe you're listening to messages like, run like a girl, or fight like a girl, or you know, lean forward and be like a man. And yet these are messages from our masculine, and our feminine is just as beautiful, just as powerful. If we could just back down a little bit and allow that feminine to come through. What could be our masculine? It's not just our physical strength, it's also our intellectual strength. The more we think, the more we analyze, the more we use our brains to make us functional, the less we're going to listen to our intuition. The more we defend ourselves, the more we attack others, the less we're going to use the power of the feminine, which says, I am strong. Stop that immediately. I don't know if you know just how powerful you are as a woman. When we tap into that root chakra that I've spoken about before, when we tap into the dragon energy within the earth and we draw it up into our womb and we fill our womb with this golden power and speak from this place, we will be heard. And when we draw that up through our body, our whole body glows with that power. That yes, is physical, but it's more a sense of magnetic energy of wholeness. We are connected to everything. We are love. And maybe that's a good point for me to just pass into the next subject, which is the increase in heart disease. 1 in 5 deaths now come from heart disease in women, the highest killer. When I was a young doctor, we never saw heart disease in women before the menopause. We thought it was to do with their hormones. It isn't. We now have young women in their 20s having heart attacks. And why is this? Because heart disease is so much about feeling that you're in a cul-de-sac. You can't get out. You're trapped. And in 20 or 30 years ago, when I used to ask a woman what she wants to do with her life, she would tell me of a range of things and how she would move from thing to thing. And I would hear from the men, well, what do you want to do with your life? And they went, oh, I can't because I have a mortgage, I have a pension, I have children to put through college, etc. Now, what do I hear? I hear women telling me the same thing. I can't do whatever I like. I am a single parent family. I have a mortgage, I have a pension to achieve, I had children to put through college. Women are feeling as trapped as men did 20 or 30 years ago. And worse than that, one of the features of heart disease is loneliness. And you can be lonely in a crowd. And so many women are lonely. They haven't got the friends. Yes, they may text their friends. Yes, they may go for a drink. But now women are competing with each other. So you'll only share those things that don't show you as vulnerable. Who do you share with your vulnerability? Who do you share with your concerns at that level? Having friends who can hear you, women friends, are essential. Or having men friends who will hear you, just as good. So maybe now I'd like to just talk about one or two other illnesses before I complete. Breast cancer can occur in men or women. Breast cancer is still on the increase. It hasn't gone away. You may know someone with breast cancer. You may have had it yourself, like I did. Breast cancer is very much a issue around being able to share how you feel, to be loving of yourself. And what I learned when I developed breast cancer, it wasn't that I didn't care for myself in terms of having massages or doing those things, but I'd lost the self that needed caring. And that's that part of me that I've talked about before, about service over and sacrifice, about pleasing others. So come back to your heart. Come back to your breasts. Nurture yourself. Find yourself. Encourage your sisters, your friends, your daughters, your grandmothers, your mothers to take time for themselves. Even if you might say, no, no, my family is all so narcissistic. They're always only ever thinking of themselves. No, somebody who has to make everything about themselves isn't loving of themselves inside. They're insecure. They're needing everybody else's attention. That type of love isn't just doing nice things for yourself. It's having true compassion for yourself. Where am I compassionate to myself? Where do I not should on myself? Where do I allow myself to laugh, to giggle, to bring myself home again, to my own rhythm, to my own body, to be in tune with me? And so I think I will leave that subject now on that matter. I hope that this has been some help to you, either personally or maybe the people you work with or maybe people you know. Most of all, for women especially, it is about embodying the Great Mother, embodying the Great Mother that lives within Mother Earth. Literally, when a woman is well and happy, she reflects that in the world around her. Not just in the people, but in the earth herself. And likewise, when the earth is not healthy, it's reflecting how a woman feels. So each day, take yourself, if you're a woman, out to your backyard. Maybe you just have a little bit of somewhere where you can go where there's a tree or some green grass. And if possible, even take your shoes off and just stand on that ground. And you don't have to do anything else, but just allow yourself to know that you and the earth are one. If you want, you can send those roots into the ground. But most important, bring that energy up into your body, into your sacral chakra, your womb, into your heart, into your crown chakra. Know that this is what makes you a happy woman, a woman in rhythm, a woman in beauty, a woman in her power, a woman who speaks from her womb, and a woman who is seen and known for who she is. And with that, I send you much love from my heart to yours. Until next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Remember to check out other episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. And do share with friends, family, and colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.